yesterday we did a worship with the word prayer format, which was when we sang through large portions of scripture. Yesterday we chose Revelation chapter 1, because I wanted to kick the week off with just singing about Jesus. And so we sang through Revelation 1, and that is a great context to study the Bible in the room, to do some of the tools for the prayer room where you can connect with the Lord personally. You know, read books in the prayer room. I mean, there's some good anointed books. You know, John was talking about he's even reading this Bonhoeffer thing. I mean, it's, you know, the way that I look at it is I could be at home. I know she's back there. I could be at home and read that book, or I could sit in an anointed atmosphere and talk to Jesus as I'm reading that book. You know, some of you guys that work, you know, full-time or part-time and have an opportunity to pop in here, you know, don't feel guilty about opening your computer in the back and doing your emails sometimes. It's like, it's not sacrilegious. The idea is, in the worship of the word format, or any of them, but that one makes it easy for you, I would rather come in here under the anointing and sit in the presence of God and worship him and talk to him while I'm doing emails. And I mean, that's what we do in the prayer room down there. So we don't do all of our time there because, of course, that would be a waste. But, you know, I have half my time studying the word, praying, worshiping. But then I have other time where, you know, I've got to do an hour's worth of emails, and I just grab my computer and go sit in the prayer room in the back and, you know, sit at a table and do it. So the worship of the word's great for that. The intercession, the idea is, the goal is that we would all be in unified intercession together. And so today we got a chance to do that, and we actually did every type of prayer I talked about earlier. We did the room intercessor. You saw that at the beginning. It's the ones that would come up and announce the scripture text, you know, Acts chapter 2 for Michiana. Then they'd pray it word for word so that we could get the whole room in unity and then pray it in their own words. So we did a couple of those. We did a rapid fire line that most of you got a chance to participate in, which is the short 10 to 15 second prayers. We did a small group prayer. People gathered together in groups of 3 to 5 and pray for a specific prayer focus or whatever is on their heart. We did healing prayer. A number of people needed physical healing today. That was great. And then the last one, the press. Normally there's 5 people that pray in the press, but we did, you know, I think 6 or 7 today. Good job, little drummer girl. Low five. All right. So Sammy was that age when she was in the house of prayer too. It's pretty funny. So I'm having flashbacks right now of Sammy playing in the drum booth. So any questions today or comments or observations? And Ben and Sammy and Megan, if you guys want to grab those stools and come up here and just sit with me or whatever, I'll come back here. So you can ask any one of us a direct question if you have one, or just generally, and whoever feels like answering can answer. But any questions, comments, observations? No, before the rapid fire, that would be the norm, what we did before. And that's just when a room intercessor, you know, it's anybody in the room that, now we have it set up. And so this prayer room, do you have it set up where this is where the intercessors sit? Okay, so when they're doing an intercession time, anybody in the room can grab, you know, their Bible and come sit up in these 4 chairs here, and that would signal to the prayer leader that you want to pray on the mic. And of course, everybody needs a little instruction of how to operate with the team, but assuming that they know how to do that, they would just come up, read the scripture text word for word, you know, Acts chapter 2, praying for the church of Michiana, and then pray it in their own words. And then they would isolate a phrase, God, pour out your Holy Spirit, and they would begin to antiphonally sing and pray with the singers, which just means responsive. So when they pray and say, pour out your Spirit, now the singers know, oh, we're going to develop the theme of pouring out the Holy Spirit. And so they're going to sing different facets of that, and the intercessor can interject phrases, and they kind of go back and forth on that. Those are the things that Ben's going to be training us on tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night. So if you want to learn how to do that, maybe you already do, but if you want to learn how to do that, then you can come in the evenings. You get a chance to do that at night. So we're going to be practicing that. So that would just be a regular room intercessor prayer. Rapid fire, you know, was the whole line of people, 15 of them or more, that just did those short 10-second prayers after that. So, good question. Yes. Yeah. Good point. So the difference between the press and the intercession, the intercessor cycle, is the press. They they didn't read the Bible verse. They just prayed for a minute, and then the singers just did a chorus. They didn't develop that theme at all. They just did a chorus. So it was pray for a minute, chorus, pray for a minute, chorus, pray for a minute, chorus. And again, the idea is we want to get more people involved. You know, instead of just the one guy praying for an hour and everybody else kind of falls asleep, they're disconnected. We want to get as many people in the room involved as possible. So we're involved by singing the worship song. We're involved by spontaneously singing, and we're involved by participating in any of those kind of prayers. And when we're in the chairs, the number one way to stay connected is to do what I spoke about yesterday, repeating the phrase, which means, you know, if he says, Father, pour out your spirit, I'm just grabbing hold of little words and phrases, and I'm saying them quietly to God. God, pour out your spirit. Father of glory, release your spirit in Michiana. And it's a legitimate prayer from the seats, you know. But your mind tends to follow your mouth. So if you're speaking little phrases, you're focused on that. If you're silent, a lot of times, you know, your mind's wandering and you're thinking about what you've got to do next and what you forgot to do this morning. And so it's good to do the repeat the phrase. Excuse me. You could do it any way you want. As the prayer leader, we would have a predetermined focus. Like I said, today we're going to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. Right. So you'd have a predetermined focus. You could just grab random people in the room. Most of the time, we already know who we're going to grab before we do it, though. Right. Yeah, so it would be like, you know, in Kansas City, there's like four or five people that I regularly pray with on that set. And I would say, hey, guys, in the second cycle, we're going to do a press, so just make sure you're up by the front. So I'd have it predetermined, you know.
Right, and so people that you know, obviously.
Yeah, it'd be people that I would know. Yeah, if that's what you're trying to draw, yeah, it would be people I know. Mm-hmm. Good. Any observations related to the singers or how the model flowed, you know, between the worship music, the praying, the singing, what the team did? Any questions about that? Yes, and then yes.
Okay, all right. This is just like a functional question about the musicians. So how do you guys determine what you're going to play during the prayer cycle? I mean, obviously, you have practices and stuff, but did you guys practice tonight for today? Or how do you determine that, I guess?
Well, we did not practice. It's good to practice. I mean, some of our best worship teams in Kansas City, they have regular practices every week as a team where they go over, like, the corporate worship songs and stuff. Or maybe they'll even go over, like, different cycles that they just kind of have in their repertoire, you know? Like I said, we didn't practice. When it comes to coming up with cycles, as a musician, I would recommend going into a set knowing who's going to do what cycles, and if you can know what those cycles are going to be. It can be two chords, it can be five chords, you know, but generally it's just helpful for all the other musicians on the team to know. Now today, we just got up there, and because of time and circumstance, I didn't know what I was going to do for the cycles, but when Sammy was like, hey, can you do a cycle? I was like, sure, because I've done enough cycles to where I'm comfortable just starting something if I'm called upon, because I've done enough to where I know what works and what kind of rhythm we need for intercession. So also be mindful of what kind of set it is. Like, starting a cycle in intercession is going to be way more upbeat and rhythmic, something that's like engaging, whereas with worship with the word, it can be a little more laid back and devotional kind of feeling, you know? So does that answer your question? Okay, cool. And then back there in the gray, don't know your name.
Praise the next one's a little praise, just a little praise.
You are catching on. You're getting it. I will just say real quick that when Corey mentioned the antiphonal singing, that's what the singers are doing in response to one another. And then when one repeats themselves, you have a chorus. And so that in the evenings, we'll actually get you guys up. Like last night, we did a little bit, but tonight and the rest of the nights, we're really going to do this, where you will practice singing antiphonally and doing choruses. Do you want to say anything else?
Wait, so is the question, how did the singers know the cues that we gave each other, or they gave each other? Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, just like Ben was saying, mainly the chorus leader and I, the worship leader, would just make a chorus, so that was good to know.
So who was the chorus leader? Tell that to
me. Megan was the chorus leader. She was number one. The first, or the chorus leader is usually the first one in line. And then what we do is we just go down the line, and you can go down the line a few different ways, where you can have people just jump in when they have something, or you can go down the line. And so today we wanted to go down the line just to keep it really simple, and that way we knew who was going next. But then usually maybe like three or four times down the line, the chorus leader will just repeat the phrase that she has, or the worship leader will jump in and repeat the phrase, and then everyone will just jump in because they know. So, yeah.
Yes. Good. Let me just add one thing to that. So at any point, so you've got a worship leader that can establish choruses. You've got a chorus leader that their main job is to be listening for choruses to come up, which are just shorter songs that the room can sing easy. That's what makes it a good chorus. If the room can sing with you, that's a good chorus. Not that if it's fancy and all over the place. That isn't good. What's good is that it's something everybody can sing together, because we want the whole room engaged singing their prayers. So a chorus leader typically is a person that's really good at that. Like Megan can come up with a chorus on the spot. Sammy can come up with a chorus on the spot. Ben can do that. And they can come up with good choruses that are the heart behind what the intercessor's praying. Because that's another thing. You know, sometimes they'll come up with a great chorus. It has nothing to do with what the guy just prayed. That's not a good chorus. So you want it to capture the heart of the prayer and be catchy and easy to sing. And so that's who's the chorus leader. And so they will come up with those choruses, but also, as they're antiphonally singing and the singers are throwing out phrases, if the chorus leader or the worship leader hears one of those phrases and goes, oh, that would make a good chorus, they'll just jump on it with that person and sing it a couple times. If we hear that they sing the same thing twice, everybody on the team knows, oh, they want to make that a chorus. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sang it twice. So if they repeat it a couple times, that you know, clues you in that, oh, wow, they want to make that a chorus. And so we usually sing it a few times in unison to get the actual phrasing of it right, and then we'll branch out into harmonies, and then, you know, the musicians take off. And you could sing that for, you know, 5-10 minutes, just depending on where it goes. So,
two quick things I'll add to it. Also, you'll probably hear this if you're able to come at the nighttime for the nighttime sessions. You'll definitely hear it. Ben will go over it as far as the practicals and what you're seeing and why it exists the way it does structure-wise. But if you're not, just in case, one thing that you probably saw us do is repeat one another's phrases. And there's like a, I just think it's so cool that in a worship model we can cultivate a culture of honor, so to speak, and it's really cool because we get to validate one another and what the Lord they're receiving from the Lord by simply repeating their phrase, and so we did a lot of that today. And someone, I mean, you feel good when someone repeats your phrase that you sang, right? So that is something I just want to point out. There's three R's to it that you already said, didn't you? The three R's. Okay, so three R's that we basically stick to as singers: repeat the phrase, reference what has been said, and rephrase, right? So rephrase what has been sung, all based on what is being prayed and our focus, of course. And then the other thing I'll just say is you may have saw Sammy and myself communicating a lot, and that's something that's really important. I'm deferring to her always because she's leading us, and what she says goes. So I'm looking at her, and if I want to throw out a chorus if I hear something. I'll sing it once, and she'll give me a head nod. Yeah, that's good. Keep going. Or she'll pick it up and keep singing. I'll sing it, typically sing it twice. And if she doesn't give me a head nod or catch on, then I'll stop. And it's not that she doesn't want to hear my chorus. It's just she's a leader, and I trust she knows that we need to either stay in the direction we're going or I need to keep following her. One other thing that we did together, we'd like to do it a lot together when there's room. You don't have to do it all the time. Sometimes it's easy just to keep it simple, and you want to keep things simple for the sake of the room and the engagement of the room to be able to stay engaged with us, more so than getting fancy and, you know, one person singing out and another person singing out, and it's just there's no flow to it. But one thing that we do like to do is do what we call double choruses. And so Sammy would have a chorus, and I may be hearing another chorus that will complement or further the insight that she's singing, that has more revelation of what she's singing, that I want to see if I can add over the top of her chorus. And so we just do, this is our little sign. If she wants me to do a double chorus, she'll go like, "You got something?" And I'll go, "Okay." And so that's just us communicating. It's fun, too. But you don't always need that. But I just wanted to highlight that because we did it a lot today. You don't have to do it a lot, but it's fun. So that's it, those two other things.
And the one other little short thing is the prayer leader, because, again, Ben will go over this in the evening, but some of you haven't been there. The prayer leader never sings. So it's not that I can't sing. I can sing. But my role is that I speak and I pray, so we never want the prayer leader to sing. The prayer leader interjects those short little phrases, just compliments the singers with words and phrases, and that actually dignifies the role, because there's some people that, you know, not everybody can sing, but the prayer leader doesn't have to. So you don't have to be a gifted singer to be on this team. You can take the role of a prayer leader, and you can do that. So, there you go, Eddie. I knew somebody over here that had him.
Yeah. For the three of you, in Kansas City, are you taught the timing for choruses? Sometimes I have a couple people that they have huge, huge choruses and beautiful stuff that they want to interject, but the timing with the progression, with progression, your choruses aren't in time. We try to work with that on our team. We have the Friday night team. How do they teach you in Kansas City to do your timing with the music so that your choruses are really go right along with
question. Yeah. Progression. Okay, so the question is, how do you get the timing right for choruses with the chord progression that's being played, right? So you're in the same, like, four beats or, you know, that kind of thing. We don't have a specific way of doing that. I think it's just practice and over time. And your musical ear, the more you do this, your musical ear gets trained whether you're trying to or not. It just happens. And so I would just say that's where practice comes in. And what I would do is talk about it in a briefing. So rather than a debrief, because in a debrief, if you said something like, "Hey, you know, our choruses were all off today," you know, like people might feel kind of offended by that. But if you come in a briefing and nobody knows who you're referring to, this really is a way of just honoring people. You come in a briefing, say, "Hey, just we want to be intentional and careful today about starting our choruses and keeping them in the rhythm. So just everybody be mindful of it today." And I mean, I don't know if I wouldn't know exactly how to train someone to do it, except just acknowledge it and practice it over and over again.
Practically, too, just encouraging them to tap their foot with the beat, you know? I mean, that's just...
You have something, one thing that, Sammy, you can... Yeah, I would...
I know what you're talking about. I totally know what you're talking about.
If it's somebody that's consistently doing that, you know, and we want to help each other grow, of course, in love. I would pull them aside privately, but I would say make sure that they have, do you guys have a click that the House of Prayer uses? Oh, that might be helpful for some people, yeah. So a click is possible. We use it in Kansas City all the time. We have a click track, so I would make sure that's up loud enough in their ears so they can hear it. Because sometimes if they sing off, it might just because they're not hearing the right instrument. So maybe another thing would be, if you don't have the click track, would be making sure that they actually have the main instrument up loud enough or the drums up loud enough to where they can hear the timing well. Because maybe they have it turned way down low and they just don't know that they need it.
Another great thing, too, is to do lessons, like to take lessons. I feel like if a singer takes lessons, it helps them so much, not only in just keeping tempo, but like it will develop their voice and help them mature in their voice. And it'll really help as they are part of a team and trying to grow with other people. And so, yeah, taking lessons, whether it be by like professionally or if you know someone that can sing and you're like, hey, could you give me a few, like take an hour with me and help me with something? Just taking time out of your schedule and doing a lesson and really devoting yourself, just as people take musical lessons, your voice is an instrument too, and really taking time to develop it is important.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking of almost all of our best singers take lessons.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Laura Hackett, Misty Edwards, they all take lessons. Observations, questions. Again, today is about how to engage, get the room in engagement, not so much what we do from up here that way, although you can ask those questions too. That's all fair game. But did anybody find it hard to engage from the seats today? I know there was a little bit of a volume issue Stan brought up. You want to mention that, Stan? Just kind of vocalize that, maybe put it into a comment or a question, and we can address that a little bit. Eric.
And then you can answer. We had to put our ears to each other to hear it. We're clear in the back.
It's God's strategy for intimacy. He's going to bring us into unity. Get closer. Get closer. No. Yeah, yeah. No, so just kind of the general on that is, you know, every room's way different, right? So in Kansas City, the worship teams don't ever bring the volume down. We leave that to the sound guys to do that. But the room's so big, you know, you can go in the side rooms if you have to. You can go way in the back. This is a smaller room, obviously. So you're going to have to just work and find out what decibel works good for this room and then set it for this house. You know, the sound tech will be the one that kind of keeps the volume there. And if you want to, during small group prayer, if you guys decide, hey, let's just go into the next, because I like to do small group prayer as we're going into the next corporate worship song. Typically, the next corporate worship song starts, the volume's lower when they start, you know, because it's usually just the worship leader beginning the song, and then it builds. And so that's why it's good to kind of transition into small group prayer at that time. So if the team's aware that that's what's going on, then, you know, it can just be the standard here. Give us a little bit of time to pray maybe before you guys build it way up, and then they can watch the volume back there. So that would be an easy way to do it, I would say. Because, yeah, you want to be able to hear each other. At the same time, I want to touch the volume on another angle. as you get older, I've noticed, you know, I'm 46. I've noticed that I get more irritated at loud sounds as I get older. I don't know why that is. It just happens. I'm sure you guys can understand that too. So I wear earplugs all the time in the prayer room. I mean, all the time. I'm never without earplugs in the prayer room, and it just helps reduce the bite on the sound to where I can still study the Bible and I can still talk and hear freely, but it just takes about 30 decibels out. So it just brings it to a volume that's comfortable for me. So I would encourage you guys to wear earplugs, especially if you're going to be here for a lot of time. The reason why I would rather have you do that, you know, those of you that are a little bit older, than bring the volume all the way down, is louder volume does help people engage, number one. But second, we have to remember this is a youth movement, and we want the prayer room to be alive, and we want youth to want to be here. If the volume's quiet, a lot of times they're just kind of like, eh, I don't know. We want it to be, like, exciting. We want the volume up. We want the bass kicking. We want the drums kicking. And we want that Malachi 4:6 of the hearts of the fathers having vision enough to see this is a youth movement. We want to serve them. So what can we do to make it appealing to the youth? And then at the same time, do the practical things to make it work for us, you know. So for me, the only way I can make it work, I wear earplugs, you know. And then maybe as a house, you guys decide what the right decibel is that works for this room and, you know, all those kind of practical things. But there is a way, if we just all humble ourselves and seek God and have communication without offense, there is a way to figure it out to make it work for everybody. And so you just need to strive to figure out where that place is, you know what I mean? So... yes.
Just a question on that. Did the earplugs work when you do small group prayer, or do you have to take them out?
I have to take at least one out then. Yeah, just so I can hear them. Yeah. So he was asking about earplugs. I do take one earplug out if I'm in small group prayer. Or if somebody comes up to me in the prayer room and wants to talk to me, I look at them and I try to read their lips, but most of the time I can't. And so one time, I'll tell you this story just so you don't do this. This lady came up to me and she's talking, and I thought it would just be a short little thing, and I thought I could probably read her lips. But I'm nodding as I'm trying to hear, and then it got long enough into it that I go, oh, no, now I'm in trouble because I don't have a clue what she's saying. She's farther enough into the conversation where I can't go back. So I'm just listening, and I'm hoping I could just nod, and it'll be good. But she was waiting for a response. And then I was like, I'm sorry, what did you say? After like 2 minutes. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you take the earplug out. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That's really interesting. I really like, I looked at it from a really logistic perspective. Because I've seen it on Kansas City, but I'm like, what is this? This isn't rapid fire. This isn't this. So it's nice to know that. So, Sammy, does the worship leader always do the choruses in between the prayers? Because it seemed to bring unity. It seemed like you were the one that grabbed that. And it really, I really like where you went with each time each person prayed. So is that typically the worship leader's responsibility to do that?
I would say, yeah, either the worship leader or the chorus leader. Unless the worship leader specifically says, like, hey, number two, or hey, number three, would you want to do a chorus? We just always fall in line with the worship leader or the chorus leader, just so that it doesn't get confusing with people and all that. But, yeah, I like having either the chorus leader or me do it. Yeah, it is.
And they were like looking back and forth. Sammy and Megan during that press were communicating with each other like, hey, are you going to do this one or am I going to do this one? So they always knew going into it, because when it comes to the press or rapid fire, what you don't want is a gap between the end of the prayer and the start of a chorus, like a big one, I mean. And so if they know who is going to do it, they can come right in. Even if it's the coming in the middle of where their chorus would be, that's okay. I mean, you could wait till the beginning if you want, but if as long as they know who's going to do it, and it's not like, hey, we're just going to sit here until one of us decides to go. No, we want to know who's doing it.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to say about the press, too, is the best place to put it, so it makes sense. You would put it in the same place you would do a rapid fire. So the point of both is to take kind of, you know how sometimes we can pray anything in the Bible and God loves it because it's his word and he's going to answer it. But you know how sometimes you can feel a sense of energy on a certain prayer focus where it's like, I mean, we would use the term that was really anointed, you know, but I mean, you can sense the Holy Spirit emphasizing that. So let's say like when we were praying up here, just regular room intercessors, let's say when John prayed his prayer, let's say the Lord really jumped on that, really emphasized it. You could feel a lot of energy and anointing on that prayer. And let's say it was a theme like, you know, your kingdom come. That would be the time that the prayer leader, without even planning it, would go, oh, we need to do a rapid fire on the end of that, or we need to do a press on the end of that. And the prayer leader would just come up and just say, we're going to do a rapid fire prayer line to continue on the theme of letting God's kingdom break into Michiana, and you'd call 15 people up so they can just like put a stamp on the end of that prayer. Same thing with the press.
So the press, you limit it to
usually just because it gets so long. If I mean, you could do it as long as you want, but I mean, five, like today we did seven, and you know, that's just because we're having fun and I want you guys to learn it. But it seemed like it was a little bit long because it was like a minute, but usually a minute goes to two, and then a chorus, and then another couple minutes, and then a chorus. Then so, you know, you got 10 or 15 minutes. So five, you know, anywhere 3 to 5 seems good, but you can do whatever you want. I mean, you know, whatever feels good to you. Yeah. Yep, you could do it that way. Yep, you could definitely do it that way. Once it gets in your culture where everybody knows what it is, you could say, we're going to do a press, and you can either pre-plan the five guys that are going to come up and pray, or you could just call up five that already know how to do it. But it's like you're just putting a stamp on what the Holy Spirit's emphasizing, you know. Because otherwise, the opposite would be you call up another room intercessor and maybe they go in a completely different direction, which is okay. God will answer their prayer. But if you feel like the Lord's emphasizing something, why not stay on it a little bit longer? And this is an easy way to do that and just grab more people and get them involved, you know. So, good. Any other questions? We got about 5 more minutes. Did anybody else find it hard to engage today, or were there any stumbling blocks to engaging in prayer? One thing I noticed is it takes intentionality and practice to stay engaged for 2 hours. It really does. And so I don't know if you noticed yourself weaving in and out of being really engaged for 15, 20 minutes and then being totally kind of, oh, man, I'm disengaged. Now I need to engage again. And then you come back in and then you find yourself drifting out and then you come back in again. That's totally normal. But the thing I want to encourage you with is the more that you do it, the better you'll get at it. It's like a muscle, you know. If you keep exercising it, pretty soon you can stay engaged for 45 minutes without having that, you know, drawback. And then maybe the next time an hour, and the next time in an hour and a half. And then there'll be those days where, you know, 2 hours blows by and you look at the clock and go, I can't believe it, you know. 2 hours went by and we were all in unity and engaged the whole time. So that's what we want to go for eventually. But just stay with it.
I often, when I get to that point in the prayer meeting where I'm like, just kind of starting to drift, I just force myself to start saying, yes, Lord. Like, whatever, when somebody prays, I mean, I mean it, like I'm agreeing with them, but if I hear them praying something, I just say, yes, Lord. I mean, that is so much, it's amazing how much that does to counter just sitting silent in a chair as I get more and more disconnected, more and more disconnected. The longer I'm silent, seriously, the more disconnected I get. But just the simple words like, yes, Lord, do it, Lord, yes, Lord, that actually keeps me there and can kind of get me through a little phase of disconnectedness to where, oh, I'm finally feeling like engaged again. It just keeps me from totally going off into outer space, so.
Do this again. We get to come back in the prayer room again on Thursday. I mean, it's really a privilege. We get to come before the God of heaven and earth and speak his word to him and watch him answer us and feel his delight in the fact that we're actually doing his will. I mean, this is his will right now, and to feel the joy of the Lord upon us. So Thursday we're going to do it. 12 to 2 will be the intercession format again. What's that? And tomorrow, yeah, Wednesday and Friday are going to be worship at the Word, so the same as yesterday, where we will sing through the scriptures, and we'll let you know what scriptures we're doing tomorrow, but we'll sing through it, and you'll get an opportunity to do a new tool for the prayer room. So tomorrow we're going to talk about meditation in the Word, how to actually enter into the priestly discipline of meditation while we're ministering to the Lord and singing through the Word together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Actually, meditation is probably one of my favorite tools for the prayer room. Helps me stay engaged the most. So we get to do that. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for helping us, God, enter in by the Spirit through the veil to speak your word to you. And we know, God, by faith, that our prayers were translated into incense that are on a real golden altar before your real throne in a real place, and that you will answer them in power because they're your word. So I thank you for all that you're going to do for Michiana. And I pray, God, according to Isaiah 56, that you would release joy, that you would make us joyful in your house of prayer, that joy would be upon every single heart in this room, that you'd strengthen us with your joy, that you'd fascinate us with your beauty, and that you'd cause us, God, to walk out your will all the days of our life for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, bless you guys. So we'll be starting again tonight at 6 p.m., and we're going to have an hour and about a half of worship together and flow right into the meeting place tonight.